In early 2000, a company by the name of DaVita was created, and that company used a corporate model. And it wasn't a nonprofit, it was a for-profit business. Today, they're one of the largest providers of dialysis services in this country. And so that speaks to that. You know, they've done very well, you know, taking care of dialysis patients. They're building centers all over the country. You know, that's kind of illuminating to me, is that the companies before them didn't get as big as they are, right? So there's a reason for that. I understand that, you know, when this first happened, it was the idea of standardizing the process, right? That if you had all these different nonprofits and all these different companies, that, you know, all of them had their own separate kind of standard. And then there was a governing body, which is Centers of Medicare Services, who pays them, and they kind of oversaw all of these different companies, and that these consolidations made it easier for them to be able to work with this, you know, particular companies and standardize this practice. But on the ground level, for what I do, at the process of the service level, it was a bad idea. What we're seeing is patients being treated as numbers. And this was very difficult for me because I, in fact, left the industry for a while. I spent 9 months away from the industry, even though I know this was my calling. I stayed away from it because I could no longer be a part of what I believed was a system that was counterproductive to what patients actually needed. Yes, from the baseline level of it, we are providing a service and they are living. They are leaving, in most cases, you know, better than what they came in, but in many cases they are not. And so that, you know, that's that tug of war that I've been having. And this is the result of that. This is my way of, you know, still helping patients, but looking at the issues and trying to help the people who are running these companies or these corporations see that there's something beneath all of this that is unethical. That you know, we have to be ethical in what we're doing, and that if we make these people out to be just like car parts in a factory, and that they, you know, they mean, you know, that, you know, if the quality's up, you know, we met those four, you know, key indicators, and that this part is, you know, quality assured, and we're just sending that part out into the world, when we know that's just not the case. But we met all of the government standards. We didn't go above and beyond, but we just met the standards that this person is going to be okay, and that's just not the case. And so those are just a tip of the iceberg on how I got here and how we ended up doing this, and what led me to do this, is that I just couldn't watch anymore as people were treated as parts.
Great. Something else that has come up, and I know this for some of the people that we've had conversations with and that we'll get back to, and, you know, we'll do some more interviews with those folks. And, you know, you and I have been at this for some years and trying to figure out the best way to present it. And, you know, thankfully Zoom has come along, and we can produce these things, and we can get them out to the world fairly easily. Like, at a point we were talking about traveling the country and
yes,
meet with folks, and that may still happen. But like now, you know, for whatever reason, the world as it is has made it easier for us to do this and have conversations, with you being in Ohio and me being in Los Angeles, and, you know, the people that we talk to, my sister in Florida, and, you know, my friend Elliot, who's here in the Valley and what have you. But my point is, what I was going to say is that we've spoken to people who are finding success in their treatment because of the research that they've had to do themselves, right?
Right.
And not everybody can do that. Not everybody has the energy or the time, or just sheer, like the education to know where to get the education, you know what I mean? So we're serving that role in a way, but something that I think is going to be important moving forward is empowering those people who are going through that process, not only the people that are being affected by their kidney dysfunction or their kidney, you know, their lack of, you know, function in their kidneys, but the people that love them, the people that are around them. I mean, like, how do I help my sister? Like, how do I help somebody in my family who's going through something, or a friend? Like, how do I, you know, because if the patient doesn't know what's going on, you know, nobody around them knows what's going on.
Right, right.
So for me, that's like a big part, because I'm like, I want to add value. Like, how can I help? Right.
How can you help? Yeah.
You know, as well as how can I keep myself from going down the same path? So,
yes.
You know, just briefly, just talk about that element of how are we going to empower the patient to become their own best advocate.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that starts with just educating them. And when I first started, we had no education. So patients came in and they learned on the fly. It's like showing up for work and not knowing what your job is, and someone telling you and showing you what your job is, and then you having to perform it. Right. You know, it's going to take you time, maybe weeks, maybe months, to wrap your head around exactly what you're doing. You can do the process of it, but you don't know what that process is actually doing, right? And so when I started in dialysis in the, you know, late 90s, there wasn't an education program for patients. And then in 2000, when they corporatized some of the companies, then those companies began to roll out education programs. But I became a part of that process. I knew that that was like a passion. But, you know, so I began to teach those classes. What I found in that process is that then the doctors were reluctant to send me the patients to have that conversation. And I still haven't figured out what the reluctancy is in educating a patient. And maybe through this process, we will figure that out and why some doctors are reluctant to educate their patients. But at the end of the day, these patients have no clue what's happening and they're just being blindsided. Right. And so I think, you know, the idea of creating that class for patients, for family members, and even with this Zoom, even with when family members watch this Zoom, in our you know, our series, that they are going to get some knowledge about what their family members are going through, what's important to help them with, whether it be, and it all, it really gets back to what we eat. And that is 90% of what these patients are experiencing. You know, the foods that they need are so expensive that they can't afford them. Mm. You know, they're going to dialysis 3 days a week, and they're not working, they're on disability. That's another thing we need to talk about, is these patients are disabled. But when they go to the grocery store, there's no break on the groceries. There's no cheaper route for them to get the foods that they need. And so then they get the foods that they can afford, and the right. foods that they can afford are gonna kill them. Mm. It's gonna make our process in dialysis more difficult. Their labs are going to be out of range. All the things that we're requiring of them, they're not going to be able to meet with the foods that they have to afford to eat.
That's a great place for us to kind of close this episode up, and just, you know, having stated like what our pathway is, the reason why we're on that pathway, knowing that it's overall education, not only for us, but also just digging into what are some of the root problems. Also, how can we affect change? How can we make the different elements understand each other? And so that's what people have to look forward to. That's what we're going to do here with What's the Deal with yes. Dialysis. We're going to help people answer questions, and we're going to answer them for ourselves. And you being, you know, the person that's been in the industry, your perspective, you know, you are the best person to ask those questions, like, and to answer some questions, basically.
Yes.
To take a question from someone like me and go to, all right, where can I find the answer to that? And in that answer, affect change so that this person who has the question feels better about, you know, what their options are, if you will.
What their pathway is, yeah. And I just wanted to add to that, all of this came from stories that I was being told by patients.
Right.
And what their experiences were before and while they were having dialysis. So I want to make that clear. And what I found something super interesting, I alluded to it a little bit, and I just want to just touch on it just a tad bit, is the idea of narrative medicine. The idea that someone else's story can heal someone, that it can empower them, that it can enlighten them, that it can inform them. And that's what we want to do here. The stories, the people that we will interview and talk to, their stories will empower people who otherwise don't feel empowered at all, who right. feel like they don't have any decision-making in this process, that they've been given a doctor, that they've been given a site to have their dialysis, that the manager at that site has been given to them. They didn't pick any of those people.
Right.
They didn't get to decide what modality they wanted because they didn't know that there were modalities,
right.
that there were options. These people are being led into a process, into an industry that's benefiting from them without ever having to do a thing for them, not even having a conversation with them. And so that's what we want to stop. We want to affect that change here. And so this is a sort of narrative medicine. We're going to use Elliot's stories. We're going to use Val's story. We're going to use Alfila's story, people that we've interviewed already and people that we're going to interview in the future. And their stories will empower people and will educate them and will give them pathways that they can think about or ways that they can figure out their situation by seeing what someone else did and how successful they were or not successful at that.
Right. So that comes under, I mean, and you know me, it's all about inspiring others to inspire others. Yeah. Like, that's it. Like yeah. somebody else's, somebody's story can inspire you and, you know, to take a path, right? And so as we are inspired by the people that we interview, like, we're going to pass that inspiration on to other people. And that's how we make change. That's how we affect each other. And that's how we as human beings can be our best selves, because we care, because we're compassionate, because we just, you know, we want a better, everybody wants a better life. Everybody wants to be happy, right? And
yes.
And when your health isn't in the best shape, it's hard for you to find that state of mind of happiness. So
it is very difficult.
And that's why they call it wellness, right? You know,
yes.
And yes. So thank you for that. You know, that addition, that's a great perspective. And I think people yeah. should know that is, you know, that's our approach. You know, we're taking the human approach to all of this. You know, it's about Absolutely. Human beings. It starts with those people sitting in that chair and the people that have affected you in a way that you feel like you need to go to bat for them and for the ones that are coming and for the ones that have no idea what's going on in their life. So,
yeah.
So here we are.
I owe them a great deal, man.
Right. So here we are closing up another, you know,
yes.
round of What's the Deal with Dialysis. We'll be back. Hopefully we've added some value to you and some perspective. I know that every time I have a conversation with you, I learn something new and I grow and I will pass that on. So come back, see us again on What's the Deal with Dialysis.
And please do.
In the meantime, just do your best to stay well, do your best to educate yourselves, be your best advocate, and you know, come back and help us inspire others. So
absolutely. Be well.
Yes, indeed. Have a wonderful day.